What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey guys, welcome back to Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And this episode is coming to you on December 4th. We're going to do an intro for our live episode. If you came out to the show last week, thank you so much. It was awesome.
So fun.
We had on Jeff Dye. He was fantastic. It was a great time.
Yeah. Hosted by the wonderful Kane Holloway,
my man.
Cassis boyfriend.
My man hosted, and he was fantastic. So we wanted to do a quick intro for you guys just to add on to the live episode. And so we're going to start with a review. As you guys know, we've been doing a review of the week, and you guys are just, you're amazing. Thank you for giving us 5-star ratings on iTunes and reviews, also leaving them on Facebook. It's been great.
It's been really nice.
So we've been getting so many that we're literally like, we're putting names in a hat from the ones we're getting, and we're picking one out, and then we're going to send you guys a t-shirt. So our review of the week comes from Lindsay Kozachuk, I think. She says, I adore this podcast and you ladies. As a doctoral student, your messages resonate with me deeply. Ooh. I love how open you all are about mental health. I can only imagine how much it helps with reducing the stigma of talking about your struggles and going to therapy. I've already told so many people about how awesome your podcast is. Yeah, Lindsay, thank you. As someone who also struggles with questioning themselves and their abilities, you all are a breath of fresh air and help me get out of my head. You help me remember to keep crawling in the direction of my dreams, AKA to finally finish school. I hope the best for all of you and know you're going to make a big impact in this world. One mantra that has been helping me lately, my personal quotable, if you will, that I hope helps you is, the only thing wrong with you is that you think something is wrong with you. Ooh. Best of luck, ladies. You got this.
That's great.
Thanks. You're awesome, Lindsay.
That was so good.
That was
Thanks,
great.
Lindsay.
Yeah. So please email us at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com with your t-shirt size and which one you would like in your address, and we will ship you one. So thank you for doing that.
Oh man, the reviews and the emails we get just make just everything worth it, and just can really just cheer my day up.
It really
so quickly.
So nice.
I could be feeling in a really weird spot and then just see something like that. I was like, oh,
just connection.
Thank you. Just
connecting
with people. We're not alone.
Yes,
we're all in it together.
So nice.
Do you have a treat yourself this week?
I do have a treat.
You're
myself.
Yeah.
Oh, I got some really cool bear slippers and Big Bear. They're bare feet. I'll post them on the Facebook group so you guys can see them, but I wear them all over the house. But I've started painting again. I've only completed one painting, but I'm going to keep doing it. I did it just over the weekend, and it was really nice. Totally successfully turned my brain off for several hours.
forced myself to be present, and it turned out relatively cute, and I hung it in my bathroom.
It's very cute.
So I'll put a picture up.
My favorite part is that you still sent us pictures of it, and we're like, do the dots look too crazy?
Yeah, I was still like, oh my God, my bathroom artwork, I was still just like ripping it apart. It was like, there's too many dots, and there's too many things on the ground. Too many things on the ground.
No, it was perfect.
We'll post a picture of it.
Yeah,
yeah, so but that was great.
Good
was
job.
Nice.
That's
Thanks.
A really good treat yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been years since I've actually completed a painting.
Yeah.
It's since I was probably 16. Over a decade.
Wow.
I'm going to get back into it. Because I loved it.
Yeah.
And I told you I ended up stopping.
You're so talented.
Thank you. That's nice. I ended up stopping. Well, not the whole reason, but part of it was like stupid ex-boyfriend was like, that's dumb. You know what I mean?
So gross. Monster Hall of Fame.
And it's like, whatever. And then I just kind of slowly stopped. But
fuck him.
It wasn't the
what
whole reason.
What a shamer.
But a part of it.
Ugh. Yeah.
But now I have a lovely boyfriend who was like, babe, that looks really good.
Good job, Cam.
Good job,
Keep it
Cam.
Up.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of stupid boyfriends, we have an advice question.
Okay.
From a listener who asked not to be named.
Okay.
So you can only imagine how juicy this is going to be.
Oh, Lord.
No, I'm joking. She wrote a very nice one. Says, hi, ladies. I finally caught up on all of the episodes, and now I get sad because I can't listen to it every day for an uplifting hour. Oh, you three are fantastic to listen to. Thank you so much for your real and honest insight into life. We didn't need to read that part, but you know what? It was sucking our dicks a little bit.
Yeah.
So
we let it happen. We put our hands behind our heads. We let it happen.
Enjoyed every minute.
But Kelsey just rolled her hips where she was sitting. And it was just, goodness. Anyway, I need your help. I've been dating a guy for almost a year now. He's wonderful, sweet, very attractive. I love him, and I've been fully ready to marry him. You've been dating for almost a year and you're ready to marry him? Okay.
Hey, we got engaged after 9 months.
Slow down. Yeah, oh, yeah. And that was wrong, too. Okay.
It was. But nonetheless.
He's in debt from student loans and isn't making a large dollar amount, and I feel like he can resent me for the money that I make. I make significantly more than him. His debt keeps him from wanting to take those next steps into marriage, and he can get into these funks where he gets depressed and completely unreasonable. They last about 2 to 3 days. Yikes, that's like a period.
Yeah.
It usually starts because he can't afford things he actually needs and has severe social anxiety. Mm. Anytime he has to spend time with my family or large groups, he freaks out and turns into a complete different person. And when he gets that way, he tends to say things he doesn't mean that are hurtful and makes me question our relationship. I'm to the point where I need to decide if I'm going to work with him through his anxiety and depression when they come, or run and wait for someone else who isn't so much work. Wow. I love him and he isn't that way most of the time, but it can be exhausting. Do you have any advice for me? I just don't know what to do.
That's really tough.
That is a tough one. I wish we knew how old they were.
Yeah. And
that
also kind of the things that he's not able to afford right now could be, I don't know if it's putting a stress on the relationship, but I don't know. I've talked to so many guys who feel like they have to have all their ducks in a row before they feel like they have enough to offer somebody, like, you know, the enough money, the right job, all this stuff before they feel like, you know, whether they can propose or move in together or whatever it is. Like, I think guys really base their worth on that. You know, and like women don't usually feel that way. It's like, if you just be a good person and be happy with me and like, you know, I know that money is an issue and, you know, it's a big issue for a lot of couples. But I mean, I was even talking to a coworker who was like worried about being official with a girl because he's not in the job that he wants to be in. And he's insecure that he can't give her everything that she deserves and all of that. It's like, yeah, but she loves you.
Yeah.
So just love her back for now and the rest will come. You know?
I disagree just a little bit though, because especially if she's thinking of him in a serious sense, like marriage wise and living together, if he's in a place where he's not even able to cover his basic needs.
Yeah.
I see that, how that's like a tremendous burden and like a stress and stuff like that. And, but like shit changes. Like, I don't think that, to me, that's not a deal breaker. I think that's something that maybe he's in a tough place, as long as he's trying to work to get out of that.
Yeah.
What I do think is an issue are these long periods of time where he's depressed and anxious and maybe not treating you right.
Right.
I think if you're going to stay, what would be reasonable would be if he is showing you that he's taking steps.
Yes.
To get better.
Yeah.
If he decides like, hey, maybe I need to go see a therapist, maybe I need some medication, maybe I need, if he's gonna take some steps, but if he's like, no, I'm fine, and
then
I don't, then I think that's when you need to look at yourself and be like, okay, is this something I am willing to stick around with
because it's not a guarantee that he'll decide that he needs help. 100%. You know what I mean?
I know. I want to know, like, what kind of stuff is he not able to afford with them, like, individually or together or stuff. But yeah, like, if it's a problem and you come to him about it and you work on a plan to resolve it together, that's great. If you can be open and honest about the person that you're in a relationship with or your friends or anybody and you work on it, awesome. But yeah, if you bring it to somebody like, hey, this is a problem for me, and they don't do anything, then it's not going to ever change.
Yeah.
There's not even a option of it changing.
Yeah. Right. Unless and you break tough. Up and they have an epiphany. They
right.
Whatever.
Which
but
is
like,
so rare.
Right. But seriously. Yeah. That to me is like, that was the bigger red flag of him kind of like, almost like, I don't want to say like dissociating because that's a severe thing, but with him being weird and like kind of freaking out and whatever, like, you know, he needs to show you that he's going to take some steps to help with that. And
yeah. And I wonder what kind of stuff he's saying in front of her family and stuff like that. Like, how much weirder is he acting? Is he being like mean, or is he acting insecure or awkward, or, you know, like, is it abusive? Or is he just like, really, maybe he is like suffers from chronic depression and he really needs to go see somebody.
Right.
And, you know, he hasn't done that yet.
I'm going to be a little harsher and say this whole email was just a bouquet of red flags to me. Like, nothing about this sounds like you should be marrying this guy.
Right.
First off, you've been dating less than a year. And it, I, whatever, you're, I, sometimes that's right, but that's real quick. That's in and of itself. None of these things individually are a big deal,
right?
But altogether, it's a lot.
It's a
that's
package.
What I'm saying. Like, you've been dating less than a year. He isn't ready to marry you. You said he doesn't feel ready. You feel ready. That's our, neither of you
not
are on the same page about marriage.
Yeah.
Money is a really important thing. You know, it doesn't say anything about him trying to, I don't know,
get out of that situation.
Something.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing
thing.
About him working towards anything. It's just like, oh, this is a barrier to him wanting to get married. You know, all the funks where he's depressed and unreasonable. That sounds like that happens a lot. Him being hard to spend with your family or friends. Like, it just, it kind of sounds like you have somebody who resents you for making money, isn't ready to marry you openly, and you can't take any place. So what are you doing? That's kind of what it sounds like to me. Again, any of those things individually could be addressed, maybe rectified, but it's all together, I'm like, I don't know.
Sounds,
man,
like a tough situation. I would just tell him that you're concerned, tell him what you're concerned about. And if he reacts in a way he's like, no, I'm fine the way I am, then you got a situation.
Yeah.
But if he's like, okay, yeah, you're right, maybe I should seek some help and maybe the relationship gets better and stronger and in a year it's a totally different situation. But yeah, no, I don't think you should be thinking about marriage at all anytime soon with somebody who might be prone to depression and, you know, if they're not handling it.
Yeah.
So
just communicate.
Communicate.
Like, obviously, there needs to be a big talk.
Yeah, see how it goes and let us know.
Marrying a depressed person, but someone who's really deep in debt and doesn't feel ready for that commitment, don't try to rush them into that. Like, you really do. It's,
you
know,
you don't want to marry somebody who's not ready to marry you.
Right.
Yeah.
No, nobody wants that.
Well,
you don't want like a hostage situation.
I wish I knew how old you were.
I know.
Yeah.
There's so many details.
Write back to us with how old you are. Maybe we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like it's young.
Yeah. My ex suffered from chronic depression and I always wanted him to get help. I begged him on my knees at some points, like, please talk to somebody. And you just can't force somebody to get help if they don't want it.
They have to.
Only when they're
they
ready
have to want to.
And you know, willing.
And even
so.
If they go, if they're doing it for you, not them, it will not stick. They have to be ready to do it for themselves.
Right. And it's a process. It takes a long time.
Yeah. All right. Well,
best of luck. Tell us how it goes.
Yeah. Please update us. If you guys have any advice, questions, or suggestions, or advice for us, heck, we need it. Email us at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow me at ttomcomedy on Instagram, at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter, ttomcomedy.com. Did I already say that? No, that was Instagram. And when does this come out?
This comes out December 4th.
Perfect. This weekend, the 6th through the 9th, I am at Denver Comedy Works South. Please come. It's going to be really awesome. Yeah. Heard nothing but great things about this club. December 21st through 23rd, I am at the Helium in St. Louis. And December 28th through the 30th, I am at Hilarities in Cleveland. I'm just headlining my butt off all month, and I'm very scared. So please come.
It's going to be amazing.
Crush.
You want to go Delaney?
I'm at Delaney Fisher across the board, DelaneyFisher.com. If this is December 4th, I have one show. I can't remember. I think it's like the 12th in Santa Barbara. It's my only show for December because I canceled all the other ones because I'm giving myself all of December off. So that's the only time you can see me, and I forget where it is. You can check my website.
Hey, love it. I'm at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, and then KelseyCook.com for tour dates. This weekend, I will be with Jim in Chicago on Friday, December 8th. I'm very excited. The weekend after that, 14th through the 17th, I'm at Ontario Improv. And then the weekend after that, which is right before Christmas, I'm at Tacoma Comedy Club. So if you're in any of those areas, please come to a show. Would love to see you.
Yeah.
And also subscribe to Self Helpless on iTunes if you haven't yet. Give us a 5-star rating and a review, and we will send you a shirt.
Yeah. And like us on Facebook and join the Facebook group.
Yeah.
It's a great place to ask for advice.
Yeah.
And so subscribe on YouTube.
And subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah.
All right. Yay. Enjoy this live episode recorded at the Hollywood Improv with special guest.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jeff Dye.
Yeah. Man, I feel like you guys are so far away from us now.
No. I know, I like that.
Come
you guys
up here so we can touch you.
You guys came out, and you're like, look, we're going to support you, but we're not going to coddle you bitches.
Yeah. Right? We don't want to breathe the same air as you.
Yeah. I don't think they're still working on their advice questions and
I
quotes.
Think they are. Oh, I know, yeah. We gave them homework.
We gave them homework, yeah. That's
we
gave
right
them,
before yeah. we came up.
We're a homework podcast.
We are a homework
so
podcast.
Get into it.
I'm sorry that you feel like the only reason I asked you to do this is because we worked together in San Diego. It is partially because I didn't get you, though.
Yeah, we talked about it, and you were like, what?
Yeah,
we can't just be happy. And I was like, yeah, you can.
You're happy
so
all the time.
So ironic.
Yes.
That you we never have get depressed.
Never.
Never.
Here's, not once,
okay.
ever.
Here's the background. Jeff and I worked together for a weekend. He was headlining, obviously. He's the man.
Thanks,
and
yeah, that's nice.
He was, like, talking to me in the green room, just, like, very oversimplifying how easy it is to be happy, where he's just like, it's just have a good time. And I was like, but what if you're sad? He's like, what is sad? Like, he just kept
just
being
don't
like,
be sad. Yeah, it's
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, just, oh, God, you're the thing in the depression books that is, like, a trigger for everybody where they're like, I know it's hard when you have a friend who's just like, just don't be like that. And it's like,
yeah,
well,
you
that
are.
Friend doesn't understand, you know?
What? Okay, so then you pitch me on why you have all these reasons to be sad. You're fucking killing it. You're very talented. You're very beautiful. You've got a TV show in the works.
True.
You just did Cohen. You just killed on stage. People yeah. come to see you. You've got a great podcast. You have great friends. I know you have a very functional, normal, great family. So what is your... Go ahead. What are you walking? What are you driving around the town going, isn't it hard to be Taylor Cohen? What is your problem? Go ahead. Pitch me on your problems, Taylor.
You did this in San Diego, and it was
pitch
the
me.
Same thing where I was driving home just like, he tricked me. How did he do that?
No, it's pitch me on what your right. beef is.
Oh, God damn. Someone else talk to him.
Okay, I'll talk to you. How do you stay so happy,
yeah.
Jeff?
All right.
May I call you Jeffrey?
Super simple.
Yeah. Okay.
Despite what any book says. So, you get to, like, and I know people don't like the cliche of, like, happiness is a choice, But it is, in a lot of ways, everything is a choice. So, like, let's say you're like, oh, man, I have to go to work tomorrow, and traffic in LA is really brutal, and I have to sit in my car every day for, like, 45 minutes before I get to my job, and then the parking lot's a zoo, and I can't find my parking spot. It's like, that takes another 10 minutes, and then I have to go see some person I don't get along with at work, and they believe, oh, I have all these reasons why it's so sucky to be, and then they bond with their other friends who are in traffic, who have a job, and they do all that stuff. You find a way to make the things you don't like good. Be like, you know how many books you could be reading in that 45-minute commute by just putting it in like an audio book and listening to it? How many podcasts you could listen to on the drive? How many great things you can do in your nice car or in your Uber drive? And if you're Ubering to work, that's even better because you can like look at your social media. You can listen to things. You can do whatever you want. And that makes traffic not bad. Find a way to make things that are bad great.
Yeah. I understand that. You see the silver lining in everything. Yes. There's pros and cons to every situation.
Oh, Disneyland, the line for Splash Mountain is 2 hours. Then bring cool people that you enjoy talking to.
Play that heads-up game.
And the line is fun.
Yeah. Do you... Okay. I'm like, you're so enthusiastic and I love it. Thank you for leading the claps tonight. Yeah. You're the best. Are you? Do you feel like you're that way because you either didn't have very much struggle in your life or you had struggle and it made you really appreciate the good things?
Yeah, I think when I was... I had struggle. We all have struggles. Everyone has struggles.
Right.
But when I was a kid, I like kind of came to that conclusion very, very young of like, we don't have to like let someone bother us. Or like if like a truck drives by and we all get splashed at the bus stop. All the kids are sitting there going like, oh man, these are my new clothes and my expensive thing. And I'm just sitting there going, isn't this great? We're like all, this is so fun. We're all messy together. Like that. Like I guess I kind of already had it always in my life, just of being like having fun.
You're like a dog.
But, yes,
you
you're
are.
Just like, oh, like tail wagging, just happy.
Yeah, everybody's home.
Yeah.
That's what. Yeah. And I think that the biggest flaw in my life with this whole theory is that when someone doesn't like me or someone doesn't want to be my friend or someone hates me, I feel this need to make them be my friend or like whatever.
Yeah.
And that is a bad trait of positivity and optimism. But I have come to terms with it in the fashion of like wanting someone to be your friend is okay. It's just needing them to be friend is where the problem comes in. Right. So I've just got to accept there's not everyone's going to be my friend and not everyone's going to enjoy me or not everyone's going to whatever. But it doesn't change my desire of when I see them being nice to them or being like, hey, well, how's it going? Or like give them a big hug or like whatever. Like people want to feel special. I want to feel special. So I'm going to do that for everyone I meet.
That's awesome.
I feel like, don't you feel like Jeff could like start a cult?
But yeah, in
a
good way?
Easily.
Yeah.
So easily.
It's like hot Jesus.
That guy from 10 Things I Hate About You who started the cult?
Yeah.
You who could totally that? Be the Joey Fibbiani?
No, the other guy.
Is that his name right? One? Joey Fibbiani?
That sounds right.
The guy who like
Joey Tribbiani? Joey!
Do you guys know who I'm talking about in 10 Things I Hate About You? What's that guy's, what's the name of the character in that movie?
The bad guy.
Yeah,
she's so good.
I don't want to be like the bad guy from 10 Things I Hate About You.
In the real life, the actor who's very handsome but also started a cult is what we're comparing you to.
Okay, not the man. That's
no,
the bad
not
guy.
The character itself. But
you're like Captain Hook. I'm like, I don't think I sound anything like Captain Hook.
I have two hands.
Yeah, what's happening?
What? Man.
That's so interesting. Is that, you think, why you were talking about it during your set, why you don't like relationships or, like, commitment or whatever? Because you're like, well, when I did that, I was just jealous. And I just, if once I feel something negative, I just don't do that thing again.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, I think, like, I know that love is very good, like, in a relationship. That feels nice to, like, know someone and, like, be with them all the time. And that, because I feel that with my best friends. Like, but the hard part is... it's hard to turn off an emotion towards a different person. I start to meet a different girl. I'm like, oh, I like this girl a lot. And then they're like, but you're not allowed to do that.
You are a dog. You're just like, oh.
And then I'm like, yeah, but I like everyone. And they're like, well, why'd you post a photo with her? Because she was cool and I met her that day. She's super nice. You'd love her. And I don't love her. Well, she seems great. I love her. What do you mean you love her? Like, it seems like what a relationship is way too complicated for me to play all the rules of.
You know what it seems like to me is like, your level of chill is so intense. Like, to the point of, you know, you guys heard him. Just like, just if you're unhappy, just be happy. Just turn on some music.
Just
and
don't do
and
it.
You're kind of like, by the time he stops talking, you're like, why? Why don't I do that?
But
like,
you can't
but
do that.
No, I've never met a, not to be sexist, but I don't think I've ever met anyone like that's that chill. But like women typically, I think, are more like overthinky and stuff.
Oh,
and
constant.
That, I don't think they could wrap their head around just the simplicity of your thought process of just like, she was cool, that's why I did it. It's like, yeah. But you knew it would hurt me. And it's like, but she was cool, it shouldn't hurt you. And it's like,
right.
Yeah. You poured water on my brain, you know?
Like, you're like a country music song where it's just like, I got my gun and my dog and everything's good.
Oh, guns.
And like I listen to that music and I'm like, who is this for? Who can relate to that? And it's you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think so. Sure.
That's you.
Have you ever heard the expression?
But it's like you're instead of a gun, it's like a kale smoothie or something.
I think everyone here, and when I say here, I mean like Western culture, has learned different rules growing up, and mm-hmm. they subscribe to those rules. And because I'm not playing by those rules, they're like, ah, that guy's wrong. But it's like, no,
No, we're jealous
rules,
of you.
No, I don't think so. I think people hear that and they go, I would never do that.
Really?
I would never.
I would love to be happy. Everybody's people are terrified of what you just said, that happiness is your responsibility.
It is.
People want to put it on the world and everybody else.
When you cut your arm, this is a weird way to put it, but like, let's say you get a cut on your arm, right? Your instinct in like, as a human being is to go, ah, like cover it, right? Like stop the bleeding and you just wait it out. You put crap on it to make it heal and then it heals, right? And that's just what we do because we want to live. We've learned survival is like in our brain. But what people do with their problems is they get cut, and then they go, oh, God, hey, look at this. And they're like, showing, hey, look at that. And you're like, oh, that is horrible. And you're like, hey, look at that. And then he feels bad for me, and then he feels bad, and then she feels, and that feels good because we get all this attention from people that otherwise wouldn't care unless we were cut. And then by 3 weeks, I keep going up to him, hey, you believe this cut? And then he's like, yeah, man. Heal it. Fix it.
Right.
It looks infected. I'm like, I know, but isn't this awful? Isn't this horrible?
I can smell
it. So what happens is they just keep doing it because they're like, well, this is my cut. I've earned it. And people give me attention for it. And people give me, instead of just fix it. Like, you can for a little while enjoy that pain, or not enjoy the pain, but get the attention of the pain and things. But then you have to let go of it and fix it. You have to heal it.
Mm. How
but
do
people
you
don't
fix
want
your things?
To. They want to just go, ah, like, isn't this awful? And you're like, no, you don't have to be like that.
How do you fix your things?
Yeah.
Like, can you think of a recent pain you've gone through? And what was your method of, like,
I lost a sister. My, like, best friend in the world died. And
sorry.
That's okay. And it was hard. And it was, like, very whatever. But I just surrounded myself with people I love. And I like would laugh a lot, or then I'd get mad, and then I would like be sad. And then after a little while, I just like thought about how hard I was gonna work to like make her proud, and that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Aww. Can we clap for that?
Yes.
No, but I think that's
clap leader. Get
people
going.
People hate that it's simple.
Yeah.
But it is.
Because everyone else is trying so hard. I think.
Yeah.
It's all your mindset.
Or like think about this: like if someone cuts you off in traffic. Are you really going to let that ruin your day? Like, oh, you believe this, like, lady came over? Like, yeah, it startled you a little because your car or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to get mad. Maybe they're just a bad driver.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going to let that ruin the next 10 minutes if you're, like, winding a steed up next? Whatever. Like, you don't have to do, like, but people
that's
choose
me.
That because they're like,
I
they go,
that.
I've been wronged. Look at my cut. This. Yeah. And so you're just ruining your own life by getting mad about it.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this. We recorded an episode the other night, and this might come out before then, so maybe I shouldn't even say it, but I was talking about how, like, interesting you feel when you're heartbroken. I think that's kind of true. If you're going through, like, something painful, you kind of feel really interesting.
Same
sad
with
and
artists.
Mysterious.
Every comedian. Yes. Look at that new Jim Carrey documentary.
Yes.
He pretends to be all messed up just because it makes him seem like a pure artist. The same way like Kurt Cobain. Well, Kurt Cobain had like drug problems, but a lot of people's heroes were junked up and dark. So they believe like, oh, I'll only be able to be creative or an artist if I'm dark too.
Totally.
I don't know how many New York comedians have told me that. Like, oh, you're too pretty to be a comedian. You're too happy to be a comedian. You haven't been through shit. Well, I've been doing pretty good by not, like it seems like a strange rule that people are subscribing to.
Do people tell you you're too pretty and happy to be a comedian a lot?
They tell me I'm too happy to be them, but like when I first started, they were always like using the looks thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they were just saying that because I was bad at comedy.
We need to stop.
Just quit, man. Just quit. You'll be fine.
Must be the symmetry.
Did anybody ever tell you to like dress a certain way on stage because you're pretty?
I did that kind of myself. If you look at photos of me when I was first on TV, I grew my hair out as long as I could because when I was an open micer, I had short hair and I wore clothes that fit, and people were like,
"Bad move.
I don't like this."
Yeah, I remember you posted something about that you used to intentionally wear clothes that were unflattering,
which is unfair.
Yeah, to try and
it's
make
like
yourself
telling women they should be gross to do comedy. That's offensive to me.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
Yeah,
you can be pretty and funny. We don't need you to be some monster.
Yeah, this guy. Clapping. He knows.
Feels like a TED Talk.
Oh, I love it.
This is great. Enjoy it.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, I was told that. I don't know if you guys were. Absolutely. In the beginning, that's like, hey, you should just kind of, you know, throw your hair back, put a jacket on, which I kind of do anyway. But now I'm at a point where I'm like, do I do it because now I'm just so comfortable doing it, or am I doing it because that they've got in my head? But I also feel like if I'm not comfortable on stage, I deliver jokes differently and I get a different response. So now I'm like, oh God, what am I comfortable in really?
Well, yeah. A lot of comics will think, what will make the audience receive me? So if you get up on stage and you don't look the way a comedian looks, they might go, I can't identify with this guy.
Yeah.
So you'll change your look to win over the audience. But the problem with that is, if you believe your look has to be an ugly woman because they're only going to accept an ugly woman who's funny, then they're the problem. They shouldn't be needing you to be, not taking care of yourself to believe that you might also have access to humor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's just something that's going to take a long time to change.
A
lot of sound bites tonight that I really like. A lot of solid sentences. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Old Jeff Dye is getting zero laughs and a lot of likes. That's why I don't share a lot of this stuff, because like when I just get on stage, I usually just do jokes.
Well, that's what we're so grateful to have you here, because when we did it for the first time a month ago, we realized, oh my God, we've never done a podcast with an audience. And usually, I mean, you guys listen, you know, that we try to be funny on it too, but there are also a lot of just like really deep talks about, you know, hope. And, you know, things that aren't ha-ha funny. And all of a sudden it's like, oh God, we have to make people laugh here every 10 seconds or we're failing. So it's kind of nice to have you here and make it feel normal. Like, it's okay, right? We don't have to make you. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm all funnied out. So you ain't getting shit from me for the podcast. I'm done. Did my time.
Oh, man. Yeah, I feel like we need to go through. There's a lot in here.
Yeah,
yeah, we should. Sure.
And thank you guys very much for taking time to write.
I know. Everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So everyone wrote a quote, right? Is this how this works?
I think it varies.
Tell the audience, if this is their first time listening, how this works. First,
thank you so much, Jeff.
How does it work?
You know, explaining how to do this, because I wouldn't know here. Hand that to Jeff. So usually, if you've never listened to the podcast, I think everyone here has, we usually like to talk about our favorite quote at the beginning. So when we do these live shows, we like to ask people what their favorite quotes are. Because, you know, when you're recording alone in Delaney's apartment, you can't, like, call people and be like, hey, did you listen? What's your favorite thing? So that's nice. And then I think some people have some advice questions also, which usually we just get through email. And this is like, we get to guess who wrote it.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that fun?
Both calling of these, you out.
I got such good papers. You guys are the shit.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Should we start off with the quotes?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I love quotes.
Do you guys keep
quotes in your phone?
Yes.
Me too.
No. Do you keep quotes? What's your favorite quote?
That's what Instagram's for.
I have thousands.
You have thousands?
And you know what's really sociopathic? If you guys want me to be negative for a second?
Yes.
Please,
people
do.
Starving
people
for
crave
your
negative. When I'm negative. Yeah. Like, give us something.
Knock yourself down a notch, will ya?
Whatever. Sometimes I'll think of something that I thought of, and then I'll put it in my quote section. I basically quote myself.
Get out.
Like a narcissist, I go, get out.
You've discounted everything you said. The past 20 minutes mean nothing.
What's your favorite quote that you've said?
Because I was scrolling through them.
Yeah. Oh, let's hear all of them.
I was scrolling through them to see, and I was like, who said that? And then I was like, I said that? But it was like,
way to go, past Jeff.
Oh, here it is. This is something I allegedly said, according to myself, in 2015. When you explore all cultures and see what the entire world is going through, self-pity becomes a thing you rarely indulge in.
The whole audience is wet right now.
Yo, 2015 Jeff was going through some shit. Yeah. Spitting some truths.
That's a wonderful quote.
That is good and very true.
Yeah.
Very
true. Boy, I had my snarky meter ready to pounce on you. I was like, what is this going to be? And I was like, oh, that's actually very good.
Speaking of snarky meter, one of my papers just says, same shit, different day.
Yeah.
That's something so
true. That's a horrible quote.
But so true.
So funny.
No, it isn't.
Somebody quoted me, I believe. That bond is DNA.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
That's a great line.
There you go.
Give it up for that line.
Somebody heard my shit.
Quite brilliant.
And then always happy. I'm assuming they were quoting you.
Yeah, I was.
For that one.
What a suck up paper. You get rid of that now.
Yeah. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to put it in my
book. Whose paper was that? Carlos Mencia's? Or like, what's going on? Just took all of our jokes.
Oh,
I think.
The bad chump.
You guys are big.
Guess who wrote it, and I'm sure he's available, so I thought maybe he can.
I like this one. This one is by Einstein. It says, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will spend its whole life thinking it's stupid.
That's true.
Wow.
I'm obsessed with Albert Einstein.
And then it says, also, Jeff is hella fine, so there's that.
Well, thank you.
Albert Einstein did not say that.
Seems a little strange to put words in Einstein's mouth.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Stop objectifying Jeff. He's plenty ugly to do stand up.
Yeah, he's ugly enough. No. This one is good. Expectations are premeditated resentments.
Say that one again.
Expectations are premeditated resentments.
That is so good.
That is really good.
Who said that? Which
goes with the above question. Oh, there's a question. Oh, it's going to lead into an advice question. Are we okay with this?
Yes, let's do the advice question.
Okay, it says, I've been chatting with a girl through text for the past couple of weeks, and we're going to meet next Tuesday. I've been feeling unusually anxious to meet her because over texts have gotten personal and deep. Mm-hmm. Have you guys had similar experiences or nervous feelings before meeting someone on a first date? Is there anything you've done to prepare for them, i.e. mantras, affirmations, reminders? That's a great question.
That's a great question.
Absolutely.
Oh, I think I got a little bit. Yeah. I will say, if you've talked on social media and you're going to go meet, it's good for you to know, and then also maybe even acknowledge on the date that this will be a little weird at first.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as long as they know that this, it's going to be weird. You've talked without meeting.
Yeah.
And so if she feels weird, be like, no, it should feel a little weird.
Right.
Like, this should feel weird. We've been talking, and I think I like you, but I've never really had this meet. And then as long as you know that, it takes the pressure off the date as well.
Absolutely. Icebreaker is the best thing to do with a first date. Just like, I feel very uncomfortable right now. How are you doing?
My name's really Delaney. You're cool, but this might be weird for a little bit.
Yeah. Also, I think as a girl, I think it's kind of charming when a guy admits, like, oh, I'm a little nervous for tonight. I mean, it's like, oh, that's nice.
I think it's disgusting.
I can see in your eyes.
That's right.
No, I'm joking. It's very cute.
Remain confident the whole time.
Yeah. No, I've gotten to know people, like, over, even, like, on the phone. If you, like, talk to someone on the phone, like, long distance for a while, and it's easier to get into the deep shit, and then once you see each other, it's kind of like, oh, that's, you know, a lot of things about me. And it is odd. So just go into it knowing that. And also, it may not work in person. And that's okay.
Totally okay.
There are plenty of other people in the world. And if you're like, well, I'm going to be sad about losing this person, just stop being sad.
Know that old expression? That old expression, there's lots of fish in the sea?
Yeah.
That's actually about women. In the world, there's lots of women out there, and boys. There's lots of people,
and boys, women, and boys. Women and that's boys. All that exists out there.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've got a good advice question here. It says, my girlfriend may have to move out of state for work. How happy should I be for her having this opportunity?
Ooh, that
not
is
at all.
Tough.
Should not at all be happy.
What does she have?
She clearly values her career over your guys' relationship.
I relate to that completely. I travel a lot for comedy, and it's tough on mine and Kane's relationship because all of a sudden it basically becomes long distance. But I think it's okay to feel both things. I think it's okay to feel happiness for their opportunity, and also sadness, like, oh, we have to be apart, you know, or potentially. Yeah. Like,
or I think, feel guilt that you're not happy for their opportunity.
No.
I thought you were happy all the time, huh?
Yeah. Try to be like gentle on yourself. You know what I mean? Because Kane and I have both been in those positions where we've been like, oh, I'm happy for that person, but like, oh, darn, sad like I'm guys. Sad. Yeah. So I think it's totally okay to feel both things.
Here's what you do. You're really happy and supportive. You're just so happy, so supportive. You take her to the airport, you drop her off, you kiss her, you say I love you. She goes in, she goes through security. She gets to her gate. She gets on the plane, sitting in her seat, it's you, all right? You're sitting in her seat on the plane, and you're like, don't leave, I'll kill myself. That's what you do.
I will blow this plane up.
That is love.
That's it right there.
That is. Oh, God. Dentist, it's hard. I mean, just, I don't know. I think I need more details. Like, you plan on moving there eventually. Are you going to keep it that way? Are you going to visit a lot?
Oh,
I just feel like there's certain things that you can do to make it feel like less distance.
Yeah.
Are you talking every day?
Yeah.
Making weekend trips.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I don't know the full sitch.
Yeah. But... yeah. I mean, how far out of town are we talking?
Exactly.
Like, she's moving to Torrance. Yeah. It's like, chill out. Right.
Also, it's really tricky to give advice for any of this stuff. Like, if it's a relationship, right? Like, how long have you been with your boyfriend, Delaney?
I've been with him about almost a year and a half. But I was with somebody for 4.5 years before him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at you. What now, Jeff? Your resume out there.
No, but it is strange. They're like, what should I do in this really complicated relationship?
Oh, without having details. Like, yeah.
Sure. Or experience.
And also take everything we say with a grain of salt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, we don't fucking know shit.
Bunch of comics who drew 8 people to our show. So what do we know, really?
There's 10.
We're not.
There's 10.
Yeah.
As long as we're outnumbered, I feel okay. That's all it is.
I got one question. It says, should I tell my boyfriend that my ex is following me on Instagram? It's been bothering me. Yeah, you should tell him because it's been bothering you.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're feeling some sort of feeling about it, be like, yeah, I don't know. I can't control his actions. He's now following me. I want you to know because I don't want you to see him liking shit and feeling
comfortable. I say no.
I love you, baby. But
really?
Yeah. Why not?
Why say no?
It would be weird if, like, she followed him back and they were, like, liking each other's shit a bunch. But, like, who gives a fuck? Like, that's out of
her control.
Because
it's bothering her.
Right.
That's my point. You don't give a fuck. You probably got a lot of secrets. I don't know.
But
I'm talking about this.
But also, I think that you could advise in the way of, like, no, like, you don't, that's not your responsibility to, like, you don't need to feel weird about that.
Yeah,
nobody's
it doesn't
doing anything wrong.
Yeah. See,
if it came up and if you didn't see it, you could just be like, "Hey, he follows me. I don't know why."
But like over communicating on that stuff makes it way better. No surprise.
Oh, totally. I agree with
There's
you.
There's no surprises
but
for him.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Cuz what if like things are fine now, but then 3 months later he's like, "What the fuck is this guy?" And now he gets down a rabbit hole of jealousy and he's like, "Wait, he's been liking her photos for like four. I wonder if she knows that he does she know that he's following her? Oh my god, fuck this. This is bullshit. One would follow my ex-girlfriend." Dudes are just as crazy as women in that fashion. Yeah. So just squash it now and say, "Hey, yeah, my ex-boyfriend's following me. I don't know why." And then he's going to go, "Does you follow him?" And you can answer whatever you are, but I think that's a good conversation to have. But
are you a jealous person? Kelsey?
No.
See, that's why I think you answered the way you did, because I tend to agree more with Jeff, and it's because I'm very jealous, like insane.
I would want to know. I don't want whoever I'm dating to feel anything that's bad or sad or jealous. I want them to feel secure.
Okay.
Totally.
I'm like weird. I don't want to say cuckolding, but like when I see a girl hitting on Kane, I'm like, ooh.
Get
like,
it.
I like to watch. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. He'll look at me. Like, I'm like, yeah, flirt. Do it. Because
it's so weird.
It reminds you why you were attracted to them in the first place.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Trumpish. Like, yeah, grab the pussy. Your whole body language changed into when you shit on
the toilet.
Just
turned into like an old man jerking off. Sorry. I didn't mean to be like that, but I think there's something sexy about seeing your significant other that like they still got it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm into that. I tell Cam everything, not because he's a jealous type, but because I've been with a jealous type. Yeah. So I just feel like, all right, I'm gonna overshare about everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't have to tell me that. I don't care. I was like, I think that fuels
you know? More crazy. Like, if you're planting seeds in people's brain, like, hey, just so you know, he follows me. If they're a jealous type, I would imagine they would just always be checking their phone then. Like, what did he like now?
Right.
Whereas, if you just... It's like ignorance is bliss.
If you just leave out the information, then...
If he's a jealous type, he already knows.
Yeah.
Okay, no, trust me.
Yeah.
I've been doing some sleuthing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the jealous type will bring it up.
This didn't say that he's a jealous type. I said jealous to her.
All right, well,
she said it's
bothering
her. Show yourself. I think So I think you should tell him.
No. We're really not any help to anybody tonight because we all feel differently.
You do, but that's kind of fun. Though. But then that's fun because you guys get like a choose-your-own-adventure story where you're just like, who do I agree with?
Feel it out.
I have a good quote from Gandhi. The best way to find one's true self is to lose oneself in the service of others.
Oh, that's interesting. Hey. That goes back to our question earlier about Waze. Her traveling off for her career.
Right. And also, fog reporter on Waze. You're doing a lot of service for others. Do you feel like you know yourself?
Your true self.
Yeah, man. Your true self. Not the one you show to people in public.
she's like, he doesn't do anything.
Okay.
A lot of repeated
so you don't know yourself is what you're saying. You're just repeating a bunch of bullshit over and over.
I don't think anyone knows themselves except Jeff Dye.
Yeah.
I feel like I know myself real good. Yeah.
The only person.
Here's a good one. Being a good person gives you better protection than a bodyguard.
Is that attributed to anyone or is that something they came up with?
Just a quote.
Is that something that you said?
To be fair, if there's a gun pointed
horribly,
at you,
that's the problem.
Compliments might not work in that situation.
No one wants to shoot a good person.
That's not true.
Why?
It's plenty of people want to shoot good people.
Why do you shoot? You know, you shoot people you disagree people with.
Bad people shoot good people.
Your positivity is annoying.
Yeah, you're right.
nice try, though.
Maybe a good person is one.
If you're good,
I imagine.
Just be good. No one will shoot you. Just be fine.
We're so cynical and shitty.
I just think it's a good quote.
Oh, it is a nice quote.
It's fine.
Also, you took protection very literally.
Oh.
Like it's like protection from.
Oh, I guess I went into a dark place.
Protection from shame.
Protection
and fear.
From the lack of success.
Ooh. Failure.
Yeah. It's good. Good. It's good quote.
Delicious.
And then the least favorite quote is if you don't like me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best, which I agree with.
I agree with that too.
Yeah.
You agree with that quote?
No, it's a stupid quote.
Okay,
stupid
I was
quote.
Like, about to say.
It's one of these like, right is right and wrong is wrong.
Yeah.
That tongue wiggle.
Yeah. It's a horrible quote. Mm.
What is this one down here?
It says, do you know Aaron Marsh?
Oh.
Yeah. And if anyone knows anything about me, they know that I know Aaron Marsh.
That's true.
Silly.
That's number
a silly
one.
Question. Yeah, like you'd have to like, it'd be, it's a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, do you have another page? Oh, we got another page.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You got to get busy living or get busy dying.
By Andy Dufresne.
From Shawshank Redemption.
Solid, yes. Solid. That's Shawshank. Our second movie quote. Someone else wrote, favorite quote, welcome to Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a good quote.
There's another one, just last minute real quick. My girlfriend of 6 months wants to marry her friend for citizenship and me to move in with them. I didn't know the right answer.
Whoa.
Wait,
is
I want to hear that again.
Hold on.
My girlfriend of 6 months wants to marry her friend for citizenship and me to move in with them. I didn't know the right answer.
What a weird.
So instead of marrying you, she wants to
that
marry
would be
her
too much
friend.
Pressure.
No, I think did a girl write this and that it's her one of her girlfriends or it's my girlfriend like a dude.
I don't know.
I think it's a dude.
My
it says
girlfriend
of six months.
Sounds
you
like they're together.
Say, yeah. Oh, and my buddy of 6 months.
My friend of 6 months.
My bad.
We met on
my friends of 18 months.
Yeah. That is intense.
I think you should let her do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, do you want to marry her? It's
because
only been 6 months.
Yeah, because then you don't have to. It would be weirder if she was asking you to get married for citizenship. If it's already a friend of hers, it's like,
or is it insulting that she's not asking?
Oh,
you know,
I'm so confused by this
strange,
whole
it makes
situation.
A strange dynamic. We have to think about what it takes to get citizenship marriage. They don't just go, oh, they're married, no big deal. It's a
intense process.
Quite a process.
Yeah.
Right.
And to
right.
put your significant other through that process and then pretend to be romantic with someone else. This also protects this person from having to like post on social media with their real boyfriend because now they're like, well, you know how that would look with like my marriage,
oh,
my fake marriage. And so unless she's broke, she's just trying to get paid.
Would they be able? Would she be able to legally marry him?
Not till long after, like annulled and stuff. But this citizenship would send him right back if they ended it. So now it's like saying like, I'm already in one. It buys them some. It seems like that seems
like the friendship's less of a gamble than the actual
relationship.
That's a disaster. Fucking let her do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
I said, don't let her do it.
Do it.
Wait, why are you saying
then
don't?
She has to leave, right? She gets
deported
or some shit.
It'll be over if if they get married for the citizenship, that'll go south. And if she has to leave because she's not a citizen, it'll end.
Let me see this.
So the only possible option where it's not going to be a problem is
the girlfriend
she marries her
is
friend.
The citizen. Or is the non citizen. So I had that mixed up.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Oh, so you're saying
that they were saving someone, like, oh, this friend pretending to like, just come on, let me do this. I'll still be with you, but I want my friend needs to stay in the country.
No. It's the girlfriend needs to stay in the country.
Well, then I screwed up.
Maybe just all marry each other and just have a good old fucking time.
Well, it sounds like they're all moving in together. That's
yeah, I mean, just,
like...
just let it happen. And,
yeah,
know.
This seems fine.
It Later. Seems like there's pros and
fine.
Just stamp
fine.
Of approval.
Yeah,
just be
fine.
Happy.
It's fine.
Be happy no
deal.
Matter what.
I thought there was a trickier one. Where it was like, no, just let me, he's gay, don't even be jealous.
There's
like,
pros
just let
and
him
cons
stay in the
of
country,
all that.
And then like all of a sudden,
right?
Yeah.
There's pros and cons to both those situations there.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever is the easiest.
Is this another question?
This is an interesting advice question. How do you decide to not be sweet or romantic when the person doesn't deserve it?
I intentionally didn't read this one. I saw it and
really?
I rolled my eyes. Yes.
Why?
So how do you decide to not be sweet or romantic when the person doesn't deserve it?
Then don't be with them if they don't deserve it.
Yeah. Right.
Right. No, why are you with them? Get out of there.
It doesn't make any sense. Also, what does deserve mean? Right. What kind of question is? Well, they don't deserve it.
Are they holding it back because they're in a fight
such
of
a
some
silly,
kind?
Wrong,
are they withholding
because
it was a fight? Do you guys withhold if you're in a fight, like
no.
affection or anything
be
like
nice
that?
To each other.
Yeah.
That's over the years in our relationship, you have to do the whole like you value each other being happy in the relationship than being right.
Right.
Because if you value being right more, then this shit happens.
Exactly.
Where you play games or you like are like, well, they did this, so I'm gonna be like, you know,
right.
It's like you can't it's
in fact
it
most
sucks.
Times when relationship people like wrong each other, they if they would just talk it out, the other person would be flattered. You'd be like, hey, I know I overreacted and got mad at you talking to that guy. And it's just because I love you a lot and I wish you were talking to me. Like,
totally.
That's all it is. And right. Also, you seem pretty cool. And like, I was like, I didn't want to like the guy, but he's like, it just made me feel shitty. And then you'd be like, oh my God, like, that's a really nice reason to be. And that's it. It wasn't like,
yeah,
oh,
too bad
fuck,
you don't
can't.
Like relationships.
He talked
to be very good in them.
Yeah, it'd be very nice.
It's like you could even communicate why you were doing that other thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know what deserve it means. That's a silly question.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve it.
Gotta stop playing those games.
I use my
stop
vagina like currency. When he deserves it, then he can have it. What world?
Once you clock enough hours.
Yeah.
Then you can make a deposit.
You'll deserve it when you do stuff for me.
Man.
Oh, man. Well,
I think we have to wrap up because there's another show after this.
Boo.
Boo.
The next show.
We'll have to have you back and ask other questions.
I know. This was great.
Self-help
related. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Can we do it after I don't bomb doing stand-up?
You didn't bomb.
You had a great set. What are you talking about?
There are 8 people here.
Yeah.
Which I have to yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It is your fault.
This was a workshop.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was.
Yeah.
It is a workshop.
Tuesday after Thanksgiving. You know.
Or are you going to post the comedy? No.
No, oh, I already tweeted it, Jeff.
Oh, then I killed
the whole world.
Yeah, I was gonna. Oh, is that why you're being so self-deprecating? Because you thought it was gonna be
no,
out
I'm
there.
Self-deprecating because I'm like insecure about how bad I did. That's
really?
Yeah.
I feel the exact same way.
We were all
way.
Laughing.
Yeah.
I love
yeah,
it.
Look at that! Look at that!
The clap.
Nice. Aww.
Do you want to plug your social media real quick?
Sure. Just everything's at Jeff Dye, which is an interesting thing that once you're on enough stuff, they'll just give you yours.
Oh, nice.
Do you know that?
It's a nice...
There was a different guy with that, Jeff Dye. And then when I got on TV, they're like, no, you can have it. And then just
yeah.
The guy what happened up? To other Jeff Dye?
He's probably... I don't know.
Jeff Dye won.
She doesn't get it.
They he just sent him...
They literally gave
Jeff
me
Jeff died.
Is that insane? That's a real thing.
I love it.
That's amazing.
We
got to work harder.
Good for you.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
We love you. You saved our night. If you hadn't been here, we would have been so sad. So thank you for taking time to come.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, please subscribe to Self Helpless if you're not subscribed already, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Yeah.